Let's make it happen, Captain!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. Well, we can't save this for the pick of the week at the end of the show, because that'd definitely be burying the lead. The pick of the week, opening up with, we have a CEO.
Yes.
And it is a good one. Satya. So, Satya Nadella is going to be our new CEO. We're all very excited. He's got a great track record here as a transformational leader. And
growing things from, you know, virtually nothing, you know, creating new markets, Azure, you know, the man behind Azure.
Yeah.
I strongly look forward to just seeing, you know, what will happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we had Bill Gates, we had Steve Ballmer, and I mean, those two grew up the company together. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be the first massive change, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That we've had in over a decade.
Yeah.
So this will be very interesting.
Very excited. So I know everyone here at Microsoft just loves him, and it's a new day. We're very excited about this. So that's it. All right, let's get started with the questions here from Greg. This is a question from last week, but we've got instructions now, so I figured we'd just revisit this one. He made use of SkyDrive. He has a folder with files, subfolders, and files. You catch my drift. I'm wondering if there's a way to write a script that'll drill through all the SkyDrive folders and set the availability to online only so he can free up space.
Well, not quite a script, but you can actually just use the SkyDrive app to do it. If you right-click on it, this one will make it go offline.
Yeah.
Now, if this was actually in a mixed state, mm-hmm. this would actually change to make online only.
Yeah.
So you can do that for all of your various folders in the SkyDrive app.
Cool.
So, conversely, if you want to make everything offline available, you can go to Option and say Access All Files Offline.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, everything that I've got is already in an online state.
Yeah. Cool. All right. From Kevin, when trying to update to 8.1 through the Microsoft Store, even through other links through various Microsoft sites, it says I can continue working while it downloads the updates. I've let it run over the weekend. It never gets to 1%. There is a proxy server here, but I can download other updates and new apps from the store as well, so I don't think that's the issue. Can I just download the ISO without the need for a product key? This is a machine at a county office where I'm the contractor, and they don't know the key offhand, and being the government, the programmers I am working with do not get along with hardware engineers. All right. I don't need 8.1, but the programmer in me just feels like something is off, and I want this machine to have the latest.
So if you download the ISO and you do the upgrade, you'll need an 8.1 key. The store upgrade is the only method where you don't require the key. It'll use the Windows 8 key that's already on there. So if you want to get an 8.1 key, then you can do the upgrade with an ISO file. Go ahead and do that. Or you send the Windows update logs, and if you're actually able to export those and figure out why it's actually not downloading correctly. You may have to talk to the system administrator and see if they're blocking that particular update for some reason, which is also a possibility.
Okay, good. And this next question is from a huge fan who wrote to Gove and said, I don't see the 8.1 update in the Windows Store, and when I click the URL to go to it, I just get a blank page. So tell us how you abused this person, Go.
I slapped this person upside the head, no.
The person was me, by the way.
I think it was my only question to you, right?
Yeah.
So I basically asked, because I knew it was coming from Larry, whether or not his machine was running 8.0 Enterprise.
Enterprise, yeah. And the thing is, I had gotten this machine, I mean, it was in a sealed box. Mm-hmm. I got it as my hardware refresh last year. And so I didn't know that they opened it and put Enterprise on it. I assumed it had like Windows Pro or something. But
so the restriction is that if you're running Enterprise, you don't get the store upgrade. You have to be running Pro or Core, the non-Pro version, in order to upgrade through the store. And for us internally here, or for any Enterprise user, frankly, the upgrade mechanism is usually through some deployment package. So our IT department has a special package for upgrading 8.0 to 8.1.
Yeah. All right, from Greg, I have a Windows 7 64-bit computer with all the latest drivers and patches. I get frequent 1 to 2 second hangs during gameplay where UI seems to be non-responsive. Also makes sounds delay 1 to 2 seconds. Trying to troubleshoot the issue, I did pretty much everything, including a complete reformat of my system. The problem eventually came back again. I used the WPR tool,
Windows Performance Recorder,
to record ETW events,
event tracing for Windows,
and caught this hang which shows the UI delay. It seems to be pointing to the audiodg.exe and some sort of RPC/com call which hangs the UI. I have no idea where to go from here.
So a little bit of a side thread on WPR and ETW tracing. Here's a blog by Vance Morrison. It's talking specifically about Windows RT, so ARM surface devices, but this is actually applicable to x86 and x64 as well. Suggest you know people take a look at this to record their perf issues and gather logs. Going back to this particular problem, there's a number of things that could actually cause it, and he's saying that he's got the latest drivers. But what was actually interesting is one part of a sentence where he said, after a clean format of the machine, it comes back
eventually.
Eventually. So it's like, well, what's happening from the beginning, right, when he's reformatted the machine, to the point where it comes back?
It sounds to me like it was using Windows drivers for the audio, and maybe
perhaps
some other audio drivers got installed, and
exactly,
that's where the problem is coming.
Or some other update has been installed either by the game or another driver update.
Yeah.
So it would actually be really helpful to go back to a very clean install using inbox video drivers, inbox audio drivers, and see if you can replicate the problem.
Yeah.
Start off from the from the cleanest possible state. So, you know, clean machine, install the game, inbox drivers, no updates, see if you can repair the problem.
And do you think, like, if he just tried to uninstall the audio drivers at this point, that might work?
Well, you can either uninstall the drivers or roll back depending on how they were installed. So if you go to Device Manager, let's see, Sound, go to Properties, Driver. So this one doesn't give me the option to roll back because there's nothing to roll back to. This is the first driver. But you can choose to roll back to the inbox driver, and that would be a simple way of going back to a previous state.
Cool, that's handy. I didn't even know that button was there.
Awesome. It's not exactly made prominent, is it?
It's not grandma's button. All right.
It is not grandma's button.
For the next question, is it possible to burn an ISO file to a DVD using command prompt in Windows 7 or Windows 8? If yes, how would I do that?
Okay, so yes and no. We have a tool called ISO Burn, but that basically launches the UI.
Yeah.
Okay, there's some command line switches that you can use, but not terribly helpful. So there is a programmatic approach as well. And here's an MSDN article on using the IMAPI functions in order to burn an ISO and basically access the CD recorder directly. And then I did, you know, easy search that someone had taken that information from the MSDN article and created a PowerShell script for it, which would be my personal preference.
Yeah.
So this particular article, you know, you just do a search for burn CD directly from PowerShell in your favorite search engine and you'll probably find it.
Okay.
Basically taking the information from this MSDN article, BB870772, there's a lot of sevens there, and just reinterpreting it in a PowerShell context.
Cool.
So you can burn directly from the command line using inbox methods.
Very nice. All right. Next question. Recently, I bought a new laptop, a Sony Vaio E15, with pre-installed Windows 8, which was licensed to this particular laptop. I expected there would be a Windows sticker on the bottom, and I formatted now and don't have the key. How can I find it? So there's a process to use here.
Right. So being a Windows 8 and higher machine, we've now gone to embedding the key into the BIOS.
Yeah.
So you don't actually need to enter it when you're reinstalling Windows. So if you just take the installation DVD, throw it in, install, you'll be golden. It'll just pick up the key. You can use the recovery CDs. You're limited, of course, to the edition of Windows that was licensed when you bought it from the OEM. So if you had Windows 8 Core, which is the non-pro version, that's what you're going to get reinstalled. So if you have an ISO and you get a key, then you can put whatever version that you want.
Yeah.
But you're essentially limited to what's in the BIOS. You don't need to know it, essentially, if you're just going to go reinstall. As that was really the purpose, was so that people lose the stickers fade. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know it.
Yeah,
right?
That's my problem, is every sticker I have, for the most part, has been rubbed down to nothing, to where I can't read it anymore anyway.
Right.
All right, next question. Bought a new laptop that came with the following partition scheme, which is an unholy mess, in my opinion. It has a couple of recovery partitions. The OS is on a C drive. There's a big 120 gig data drive as F. And he wants to merge the OS drive C with the data drive F without losing anything on F. Is it possible?
Well, so there's a couple of approaches. Using only inbox tools, so the partition layout is basically, he's got one partition in between the OS partition and the data partition. So the OS does not allow moving of partitions.
Yeah.
So you have to do is delete that middle partition in between the OS and the data, and then you could merge the two. Well, in fact, what you have to do is enlarge the OS partition. You can grow the and, but you can't grow the beginning of the data partition.
Yeah.
So that's the only way to merge it using inbox tools.
And so that would wipe everything on F, right?
No, that F is being the data.
It would merge it in,
Well, there's no such thing as merging, right? You can grow
lose the data is the main thing that I think he's most concerned with.
No, you cannot merge partitions and then not lose the data.
Yeah.
Right? You have to delete that middle partition, you can grow the OS partition so that...
So backup F is what you're saying?
Backup F,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
And that would be for third-party utilities as well. You would have to back up the data because, all of the information about that partition is being completely changed.
Yeah.
The other approach that you can use if you want to make it appear as if your C drive is one large partition and you don't want to worry about, the loss of space on your C drive, is you can just create a hard link into the F drive.
Yeah.
Create a directory in your C and basically point it to F, and then it'll grow into that space.
Okay. All right, next question. On Windows 8.1, I have modern apps auto updates turned on. Where can I find the history log of these updates?
Two places for that. If you go to your handy dandy command prompt, and you go to windowsupdate.log, it will be in here for your app updates. A little bit harder to navigate through here, but your event viewer will also show it. So if you go run event viewer, go to application services and logs, Microsoft, Windows, Apex deployment server, go to the operational log, sort by event ID 478, and here are all of your updates.
Perfect.
I don't actually have a lot of stuff installed on this machine. I've recently rebuilt it. But if you sort, you'll find all of your updates.
But that's where you would find it.
That's where you'll find it.
All right. Next question. I changed the settings on my Windows 8.1 PC, and now the screen has gone black. I've tried to get into safe mode using F8 and Shift F8, but it never gives me safe mode.
Yeah, the whole F8 and Shift F8 thing has basically been killed off in Windows 8. Because
we call it deprecated.
Sure. Because machines are booting so fast, you can't ever really get the keystroke fast enough.
Yeah.
So basically what we had is a failsafe. If you, during the boot process, hit the power button three times, so boot up, hit the power button, force the shutdown, boot up, hit the button, force the shutdown, do that three times, then it will automatically go into advanced options where you can go into a recovery mode and uninstall your video driver.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Next question. Windows 8 has Metro apps and desktop apps. Both of these have tiles. How do we tell whether a tile opens a Metro app or a desktop app?
Not really great ways of doing this, but here is what I'll show the method. You have to use my mouse here. This is a desktop application, MSTSC. this is a Metro application or a Windows Store app application. If you try to resize a desktop app, you can't go beyond medium.
Yeah.
Okay.
And small and medium is just making a larger and smaller version of the icon.
Correct.
Anyway.
So. Correct. With Windows Store apps, you can resize them into wide, medium, and small.
Yeah.
So a desktop app can't ever go to wide. And ultimately, you can make a Windows Store application icon look very much like a desktop icon. So mm-hmm. if I change this and resize it to medium to match the desktop, there's essentially very, very little difference if I created an icon that matched this.
Yeah.
So just by looking at it, you can't make a great determination. Most of the UI guidelines for Windows Store apps call for flat icons, mm-hmm. Monochrome, single color. It is not necessarily followed 100%.
Yeah.
For example, if I choose one of my games here that I have, this icon takes up the entire tile.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not particularly a flat icon to begin with. It
exactly.
looks kind of like it would be a desktop app, but it's,
right.
it's not.
And a desktop icon does not take up the entire tile.
Yeah, it's an icon floating on a box for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, there's generally not great ways of determining it. You can make, you'd say, this remote desktop icon, you could make it flat,
mm-hmm.
right? And it would look very much the same. So you can't really tell the difference.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. And pick of the week time, which we already did the pick of the week. It was a new CEO. But I do have one thing that I wanted to point out, and it's a four-part interview that I've done with Bill Buxton and Jeff Hahn. And I don't know, it's a really cool interview. I hate to promote myself, but it's worth watching. And
brief synopsis, who's Bill Buxton and Jeff Hahn?
So Bill Buxton is, I mean, they're both the legends of NUI, which I would have loved to use the title the Legends of NUI interview, but they both are too humble for that, so they would never do that.
Subtitle.
Yeah. But
also known as.
Yeah, but Bill Buxton, I mean, he was at Park. He came up with a lot of different human-computer... Park Research Center at Xerox, so this is...
Palo Alto Research
yes,
Center.
Yeah, so... So, he's just a legend. Jeff Hahn was the guy who, you know, got famous in the TED video for being one of the first people to show off multi-touch and multi-touch design. So, the two together, I just thought would be a really interesting interview, and I was going to talk about, you know, NUI and touch interfaces and all this other stuff. I put together a ton of questions the day before. And when they came into the studio, I found out that they're like friends, and they had spent the previous night at Jeff's house watching all these old tech videos.
Mm.
And they had this great discussion still going. And, you know, Bill was talking about how film and cinema had influenced, you know, design and computer graphics and stuff like that. And Jeff Hahn came in and he was still talking about, you know, old Bill Hill videos on Channel 9 and stuff. So I was like, forget all these questions. We'll ask those next time. Let's just carry on this conversation. So we talked about technology, about, you know, 3D, haptics, everything, just, you know, Oculus Rift and everything else. And it was just a great interview, and love talking to them anytime I can. So check it out. We'll be putting up the next part next week, and keep watching. Part two is my favorite, too. So, all right. That's
next,
all I got to say about that.
next week, I'm going to be talking about compatibility. So this is my core job function at Microsoft. So send in questions that you may have about compatibility, stories that you might have. I'll be talking in a general sense about compatibility in Windows and what it means to be compatible. Send me some topics if you want me to talk about it.
Cool. Awesome. All right. And we'll see you next week.
Take care.